Folks, let's all unite our hearts in a word of prayer, stilling ourselves before so aware again that we need the Lord to draw near and to come to this very gathering here. Almighty God and Father in heaven, the stillness of this place, we approach Thee in the Sabbath morning, in the Saviour's dear and wonderful and precious name. We thank Thee, our Father in heaven, for His precious blood that cleanses from all sin. We thank Thee, our Father in heaven, that we've been brought nigh by the blood of the cross. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thy word reveals to us that we have been reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. And we thank Thee for the blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that was the price of our redemption. We thank Thee, O God, for Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. We thank Thee, our Father, for the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Lord, it's in His name that we come here to gather and to wait before Thee and to open the pages of Holy Scripture and see what the Lord would say to us in this moment this morning. We cry unto Thee to close us in with God. We pray, Lord, that You'll purge the very atmosphere in the blood of the Lamb. We have never come this way before. And Lord, we need Thee therefore more than we've ever needed You before. And we cry, O God, that as we stand now by faith into the victory of the cross, that Thou would come and presence Thyself with us. Come, O come, Emmanuel. We thank Thee for Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray that that will be our experience here this morning, that we'll sense the Lord with us, that we'll know the Lord ministering to every heart. Lord, bless in the Sunday school as the children are gathered round the teacher's knees. Bless the little hearts that are tender. O God, we cry that You'll save the young this morning in the Sunday school. We pray for this day and this house that God will come down our souls to greet. We pray for the morning and evening service. Gather in the congregation. Gather in the lost from the town. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would anoint Thy servant, Mr. Greer, with the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We wake up another morning in our land, a dark land, and we long for Thou, O God, to come and dispel the darkness. Visit every pulpit of the Free Church this morning. Set each man of God on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, O God, that Thou would come. Bind the strong man. Bless us now around Thy word. Lord, I freely confess my complete inadequacy to deal with the moments that are now before me. To this end, I leave myself completely in the hands of God, my Saviour. I pray that You'll wash me in the blood of the Lamb and fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power, that none will be seen save Jesus and none ever exalted save Almighty God. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for God's everlasting praise. Amen. Amen. We'll take a turn this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. To Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. Beginning to read it verse 1. Deuteronomy 33 verse 1. We're reading the first verse and then we're going down to verse 26. Reading the first verse and then moving on down to verse 26. Deuteronomy 33 verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses the man of God blessed the children of Israel before his death. And then we're down to verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Amen. We know God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts. Very often we can tell a lot about a person by their words. And very often we can tell a lot about a person by their final words that they ever speak. We think of, in the history of this world, men like Voltaire, a man who, in wickedness, preached that there was no God his whole life. And in his final words, he cried, there is a God, there is a hell, and I am lost forever. Or a past queen of this nation that we live in, who when the end came for her, she said that she would give all she had, all that she owned, for one more moment. Very often, final words are remembered. And here in the Scriptures of Truth, we see many times men's final words recorded for us. We think of Ezekiel. If you want to turn there to the last verse in the Ezekiel's book, book of Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. And Ezekiel's final words in that book were these. Ezekiel 48, 35. And the name of that city from that day shall be the Lord is there. If you have a margin, you'll see that reads Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. That was Ezekiel's final words of his epistle, or his book, or Samson, his final words on earth that we read in the book of Judges 16 were a prayer unto God. O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes, and let me die with the Philistines. Those were Samson's final words. Or the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. To which the Lord replied, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or we think of Stephen's final words in Acts chapter 7. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. As he died a martyr's death. Jacob's final words. We read of them in the book of Genesis chapter 49. But this morning I want to look at the final words recorded for us here in Deuteronomy 33. The final words of Moses. The man of God. The final time that he preached Christ to the people. The man that God knew face to face. And here are Moses' final words. The words I wish to look at are the words of Deuteronomy 33, verse 26 to 29. But especially those words of verse 29. The final words of the final sermon that Moses preached. Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. The setting, as you know, is this. Moses, the man of God, is going to lead the Lord's people no further. He's not going into the promised land. Joshua will lead them into the promised land. This is the last sermon that he would ever preach to them. They were a people who had tried Moses many times. They were a stiff-necked people. A people who never really were thankful enough for who they had that led them for 40 years. I suppose like us all in general, we never really appreciate something or someone until we don't have them. However, in verse 26, Moses begins his final words to those that he has led for 40 years. Verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. We'll be looking at that verse a wee bit later. Verse 27, Moses then tells them, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath for the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Remember, these people are on the verge of the promised land. Verse 28, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. Moses is reminding them that they're a separated people, and they're to keep up the lines of demarcation. When they get into this land, they must dwell alone. They must dwell in that separated stand. And Moses leaves it there as if to say, I don't need to say anything more on this. You know that. We're a separated people. And then verse 28, Moses tells them that there's days of fruitfulness ahead. Israel then shall dwell in safety. And then verse 28 on down, promise of times of fruitfulness, a land of corn and wine. Also the heavens shall drop down dew. But it is verse 29 that I wish to look at this morning, where Moses says to these people, in his final words to them, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Moses' final words that he preached on earth. Moses is reminding them, before he leaves them, that it is by virtue of what they have in the Lord that they really are a happy and a blessed people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. There is no people. Moses is emphasizing that. There is no people in all the world like the Lord's people. It's not that we're better than anybody else, because we're not. But it's because of what we have in Christ. It's our standing before God. As Moses said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. And then he gives them the reason why in verse 29. O people saved by the Lord. That word saved, it means delivered. It means rescued. That's why they were happy. That's why they had a blessed position. Moses in that last verse points them that all blessings that they have, that God who would be their shield, that God who would be their refuge, was their refuge because of redemption, because they were a redeemed people, and because they were saved by the Lord. As a result, we this morning, because of the cross work of Christ, because we are a saved people, happy are we, because of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses ends with getting their eyes onto Christ, getting their eyes onto the Lord and their standing that they had in the Lord. In verse 26, Moses began there, and he turned their eyes at first heavenward. Why did Moses not start and say, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath for the everlasting arms? Because Moses wanted to show them why God was their refuge. He wanted to show them why the Lord would be with them. Because he says, there is none like unto thee, or unto the God of Jeshurun. Moses wanted to show them that God was their refuge because they were a people that was saved. They were a people that were saved by the Lord. And when Moses said in verse 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. The words there are speaking of God as the mighty one. The exact same word is used in Isaiah 45 verse 21, if you want to turn there. Isaiah 45 verse 21. And there the word of God says, there is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Moses is telling them, there's none like the Savior. There's none like the Savior. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. And that's what Moses is revealing to them here. He's getting their eyes onto the Lord. That's the situation. He's not going to be leading them any further, but he's turning their eyes heavenward. He's showing them where their hope is. Whenever Moses said, there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, just going back to Deuteronomy 33, Jeshurun was a poetical name for the people of God, for the church, if you like. And Moses is saying to them, there's none like unto the Savior, the church's help, the God of Jeshurun. And then Moses adds a little phrase in verse 26, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. The picture there is of one who's riding in glorious majesty, one who has all power, one who has all power and authority given unto them. But then Moses adds a little phrase to the end of that, and he says in verse 26, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. The picture is not just of one who's riding in glorious majesty, but one who's riding in glorious victory. The victory of the cross. Christ is the one in Revelation that the Word of God says he went forth conquering and to conquer. Moses is turning their eyes, and all our help, just to apply this, flows to us from redemption. Flows to us from the victory of the cross. God is our refuge because by the cross of Christ our sin has been put away. We've been saved by the Lord. We can put ourselves in verse 29 this morning in Moses' final words and say, happy art thou, O Christian. Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee in all the world? Saved by the Lord. Saved by the Lord. Here were a people and they were downcast. Who wouldn't be? Moses was going to be leading them no more. But Moses immediately gets them to look away, to see their standing that they had before God, to see that they had a standing before God that was far above anything that they had. God would be their help, their refuge, their stay, because it would please God to make them his people.
God was going to go before them into the new land. There were times of blessings to come. There was success to come. But it all sprung from the flowed from the fact that God had saved them. And that's our standing. That's where all our blessings come from. They come from redemption. And I wish to look this morning at three ways that we can see from Moses' last words that we here this morning in Ballymena are indeed a happy people. Firstly, we are happy in our justification, being saved by the Lord. As I have said, it's through the cross that all the blessings come to the child of God. To the world, the cross is the center of sorrow and the lowest depth of shame. Jesus dies a criminal's death, dies amidst the mockery. But the word of God reveals at the cross Christ was the mighty victor. He tread the wine press alone. From the upper room, Christ went out and sang that hymn and arose and went to the battle. He went to Golgotha, and darkness covered the earth until the cry arose from the cross, finished, finished. The victory was won. Sin was put away. Divine justice was satisfied. Divine wrath was pacified, and the trusting sinners justified. All that we have, it flows from the cross. It flows from the work of redemption. Every blessing that we have, God is no longer at enmity with us. He's now the God of peace. He's at peace with us. We are his children. Christ's righteousness covers us. Christ's blood cleanses us. Bonner said in his hymn, he said, "Where is my refuge and my peace?" Then he said, "Thy blood, thy righteousness, O Lord, my God." When Christ rescued and delivered us from the slavery of sin, it was that we might live in the victory of the cross. Moses says, in light of redemption, to this people, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." And we here this morning are to live in the enjoyment of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, and there's a great picture there in the Old Testament of a people living in the victory of a great battle. 1 Samuel 17, you know the story. It's the story of David and Goliath. And if you look at verse 49 of 1 Samuel 17, verse 49, David has just prevailed over the Philistine. The stone has sunk into his forehead. Verse 49 says, "And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth." And then in verse 51 we see that with Goliath's own sword, David slays him and cuts off his head. What a type of the cross work of Christ that is. Christ at the cross bruised the serpent's head. Christ at the cross bruised the serpent's head. And then he disarmed the devil of his own sword, of sin and of death. Sin, the transgression of the law. Death, the penalty of the law. Because at the law, or at the cross, the law which had been kept in Christ and by Christ was honored. Sin's debt, which was held us as slaves, was paid. Death's sting, which was sin, was removed. Death's sting, which was sin, was removed. The curse of the law, paid by Christ. Christ at the cross disarmed sin, hell, and death, and cried, "Finished." And we live in the victory of that. We are free. We have been delivered. Look at verse 52 of 1 Samuel 17. "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines." Here were a people who for 40 days and 40 nights had quaked before the enemy. Death staring them in the face. Nobody able to take on this giant that stood before them. Mocked by him day after day, morning and night, as verse 16 of 1 Samuel 17 tells us. Fear among the nation. Nobody able to deliver this people. until David came and went out against the giant. Thank God there was one that said, "Here am I, send me." And there was one that said that for us. In the councils of eternity, Jesus said, "Here am I, send me." And we see in verse 52, the men of Israel arising. They had been in bondage. They had been slaves to this giant. And verse 52 says, "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron." And verse 53 tells us, "And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." The spoils of the battle were the people's, but the victory was wrought by David alone. And friends, David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus, his is the victory alone. His is the victory. The spoils are ours in Christ. The psalmist said in the 68th Psalm, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive." And then he said, "Thou hast received gifts for men." Christ was the victor. Christ came and set us free. We were in the bondage and slavery of sin. Nothing before us but an everlasting hell. And Christ came and was the victor. And we live in the victory of that. Because you see, when David went out against Goliath, he didn't go out alone. He went out and he represented Israel. David's victory was Israel's victory. When Christ went to the cross, he went for the church. He went for his people. Christ's victory at the cross over sin and death and hell was our victory. Christ's victory was mine. It was yours. And because of it, we're justified this morning. We're declared righteous. We're accepted by God the Father. We're loved as Christ is loved. Christ's obedience, my obedience. Christ's death and payment for sin, my payment. Bunyan said, he said, "My righteousness is seated at the right hand of God." There's where his righteousness was, and there's where ours is. And all that flowed to Israel here this morning in Deuteronomy 33 was theirs because, first of all, they were a saved and a redeemed people. And that is ours this morning. We're a justified people. Redemption has been accomplished, and there were fruitful days ahead for Israel. Verse 28, Moses told them, verse 28, "The land shall be upon a, or the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and also the heavens shall drop down view." We are praying for revival. Revival was purchased at the cross. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What parting words were these by Moses? What words to be remembered this man of God by? "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, saved by the Lord, a new land before you." And maybe you're this morning and you're starting out on something new. God's with you. The Lord's going before you. The Lord's saying to us this morning in Ballymena, "Happy art thou, O Christian. Who is like unto thee? Who is a standing? Who is a future like you have? You've been justified. You're being sanctified. You're on your way to the glory." Every single person in this room here right now that's saved is on their way to the glory, is guaranteed of the glory. And that's where we'll be. That's where we'll end up because of redemption, because of what the Lord has done for us. Happy art thou, O Christian, saved by the Lord. And because of the cross, God to us is the God of peace. No longer are we the children of wrath. To us, God is the God of peace, and he'll always be at peace with us. Why will God always be at peace with us? Because Christ, as our priest, did something that no Old Testament priest ever could do. He finished the work and he sat down. The Old Testament priest continually offered sacrifice and the fire consumed it. But when Christ went to the cross, as the priest and the sacrifice, he offered himself without spot to God, and the sacrifice consumed the fire. The sacrifice consumed the fire. And then Hebrews 1:3 tells us, when he had by himself by himself, purged our sins, he sat down. The priest in the Old Testament tabernacle that was made with hands never sat down. But then when Christ entered into heaven itself, into the holy place not made with hands, there was a seat and Christ sat down. He had finished the work. He had finished the work. And because of that work, God to us is the God of peace. Paul, in his final words, almost in the book of Hebrews, again final words, he said, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." That word peace, it means rest, it means quietness, it means at one again. Now the God of peace. There's what we have in Christ. The God of peace, the God of rest, the God of quietness, the God to which we are at one again with his people. The law has been honored. Divine justice has been satisfied. And God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, declaring to us, the sacrifice on our behalf was accepted by God. All God's demands were met in Christ and through Christ and by Christ. The law was honored. The Old Testament, I was just thinking last night, remember hearing Dr. Kern saying, the altar or the Ark of the Covenant was a tremendous type of Christ, because in that Ark was kept the law. And Christ, within the heart of Christ, the law was kept perfectly. The law was kept perfectly. Christ loved his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength, and his neighbor as himself. Oh, we are this morning a happy people, a blessed people, a justified people. And it all flows to us from redemption. But we're also happy in our sanctification. We're also happy in our sanctification. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. Never were a people helped as well as Israel. When God saves a people, God doesn't leave that people. He who hath begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not only, friends, does the blessing of justification flow from the cross work of Christ, but the blessing of sanctification flows from the cross as well. Hebrews 13, verse 12 tells us, Christ died that he might sanctify his people. Christ died that he might sanctify his people. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. In Cecil Francis Alexander's hymn, she summed it up. Christ died that we might be forgiven. Christ died to make us good. It all flows from redemption. It all flows from the cross work of Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 22. There Paul's writing to this church in Ephesus. Ephesians 4, 22. And he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul is teaching the Ephesian believers here on sanctification. We're to put off the old man. We're to put on the new man, as verse 24 tells us. Paul's saying, what characterized the old life? It has to go. What characterized the old life, we must not live like that now. It mustn't characterize the new. The old man, the sinful nature. And though it remains, and that war rages every day, and we all know that. We all know that. Paul said in Romans 7, sin deceived him. And we know that battle rages within us. That old nature that remains within us. But we're seeing here that Paul says in Ephesians 4:22, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. The old man is crucified in Christ. It's put off. That's what Paul said to the church in Rome, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Christ died as our representative, our legal head. We went to the cross in him and died in him, our sinful nature. and then thus brought into union with Christ through the new birth, union with his death. And from Christ's death, we get power and grace to live above the world of sin. As the Puritan said in that, the Shorter Catechism, being able to live more and more unto righteousness, dying more and more unto sin, and living more and more unto righteousness. That work will go on until the Lord comes and takes us home to be with himself. But we draw by faith from the cross work of Christ the grace that we need to live more and more unto God, live more and more in the ways of righteousness. Oh, what are we in Christ this morning? Let's live in what we have in him. We draw virtue, we draw grace to overcome the sin, overcome temptation, overcome the old nature that continually wars against us. Paul's prayer was for the Ephesians that they would be strengthened with might by a spirit in the new man. That the new man would be strengthened more and more. I was lying in bed last night and I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about Saul and his kingdom there in the Old Testament. And David, he was coming to the throne. He was to be king. God had said that. And his was the old regime. And I thought of that. And it says this in 1 Samuel 3. It says, the house of Saul got weaker and weaker, and the house of David got stronger and stronger. And the God that has begun this work of sanctification in us will continue it, thank God, until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by grace and sanctified by works. A.W. Pink said, justification is by a righteousness without us. Sanctification is by a holiness wrought in us. Justification is by Christ as priest, with regard to the penalty of sin, paying the debt at the cross, and sanctification is by Christ as King, with regard to the dominion of sin. As Christ, as our priest, cancels sin's damning power, as King, he delivers from sin's reigning power. Top Lady said in his hymn, let the water and the blood, he wrote of the cross of Christ, from thy riven side which flowed, be for sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt. There's our justification and power, and there's our sanctification. Christ not only died that we would be forgiven, he died to make us good. God is the God of peace toward us, not only in justification, but also in sanctification. But finally, we are a happy people, because we will be a glorified people. The Word of God tells us, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under our feet shortly. The devil, our enemy, how do we overcome him? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome, we were in union with Christ's victory over the devil for us. We thank God that all that we have in Christ, heaven's our home. It all flows from redemption. It all flows. There's a day coming when sin and temptation and sorrow will be gone and gone forevermore. And it all flows to us because of the ground of redemption. Israel here are on the verge of a new land. They're about to go into it. In their new land, there were going to be battles. There were going to be wars to be fought. When did that journey start for them? It started the night they were brought out of Egypt, when the blood of the Lamb was applied to the doorposts and the lintels. They're now nearly there. But what about us this morning? Our journey to the better country. Our journey to the land where there's no more battles, where there's no more sorrow, when death and sin and temptation's gone and gone forevermore. When did that start? It started the night we were under the blood. It started the night we came to Christ. The night the blood was applied to our lives. Paul said in Romans 8:30, whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's no doubt about that. Them whom he justified, them he also glorified. We're sure of heaven this morning. We have a better standing than Adam had when he had no sin, because Adam was able to fall. We can't fall and be lost. We're sure of heaven. We're in union with Christ. Our head is there, and we will be there. few more hills, a few more valleys, we'll all be home. What will our final words be? Moses' final words to Israel. Moses' final words to these people. Wesley said, preach Christ to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. That's what Moses did. He preached his whole life. He was God's servant. And he cried in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. I want to tell you something just in closing. I was in Edinburgh yesterday. I was preaching in the open air. But I read, thinking of how men are remembered, I read a statue of a soldier. He had fought. He had served for 40 years in the 92nd Highlanders. His name was Colonel Kenneth Douglas Mackenzie. It said in that statue, served in war and in peace. Won, I wrote this down, won the respect of his superiors and those that served under him. And I thought to myself, what a soldier. What a soldier. And then it said his motto in life. And immediately sprung out of my head before I read on some statement of that you would use in battle, like never retreat or never turn back. His motto in life was godliness with contentment is great gain. That's how he was remembered. I thought of this message for today. Words that will be remembered by. Thank God we can be remembered as a happy people. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. We're justified. We're being sanctified. We will be glorified. We'll be with Christ. We'll be with him forevermore. With the souls of all the sinless gathered round the crystal sea. Let's do what Wesley said. Preach Christ to all. And cry in death. Behold. Behold the Lamb. Christ was the battle. His shall be the praise. And when we pass through the gates of pearly splendor, victors will rest with Christ through the endless days. May God write his word this morning on your hearts for his name's sake. We'll have a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, whom thou didst bring again from the dead by the blood of the everlasting covenant. We thank thee that thy word tells us that Christ loved his own that were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. We thank thee we're loved this morning with an everlasting love. We thank thee we've been made kings and priests unto God. We thank thee our righteousness is on high. We thank thee Christ is our God and Christ is our King. We pray, O Lord, that thou would indeed bless this gathering this morning. We pray, O God, that we would run well and we would say like Paul, when the end come, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. Lord, help us in these days. Grant us your grace. Let the tide rise in this building today. Give power in the service to come. Give power in the prayer meeting. O God, we cry that thou would come and let the heavens give their due. Give us days of revival blessing. Come and reverse all that the devil has done. We thank thee, revival. Days of blessing were purchased at the cross of Calvary. We thank thee that there, O God, all that we need was purchased for us. For thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. And Lord, we stand by faith into the victory of the cross. And we stand now in a dark and perishing land. And Lord, we cry unto thee to pour out thy spirit. We cry, Lord, that thou would come and do great things among us. Come and revive thy work in the midst of the years. Bless every heart here. Bless the young people. Bless us all, we cry. Bless in the Sunday school, soon as the classes close. And Lord, around our province today and in the mainland and our sister denomination in North America, let there be the sound of the abundance of rain. Lord, we need it. We really need it. The church is in a bad way. We need thee to come. Pour out thy spirit and revive us again, and we'll give to thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, and for God's everlasting praise. Amen.